very lucky to have two experts from EcoAmerica's San Francisco office with us to present on Let's Talk Communities and Climate. Megan Spicer is EcoAmerica's Chief Engagement Officer. She's been in that position since 2008 and oversees the strategy and management of marketing, programs, and research. Before EcoAmerica, she was the brand director for RED, managing the concept, launch, and growth of the RED brand, including collaboration with partners on all consumer-facing expressions of their partnership. And with us tonight as well, we have Paige Ferry. Paige researches how to best communicate about climate change to Americans and effectively engage them on solutions. At EcoAmerica, she organizes and manages various research reports that include psychographic and values-based research on American attitudes and awareness on climate change. We're so incredibly lucky to have both of you. You are the perfect people for the job tonight. We look forward to learning. Thanks so much, Megan and Paige.
Thanks, Brett. It's great to be here today and welcome everyone. It's so wonderful to see people joining from across the country while we are in San Francisco in our own little bubble. I am from Orange County, California, Southern California, and I see there's at least one person from SoCal on the phone. There you are. And Paige is from Salt Lake City. So we've got some kinship with you on the call. So as Brett said, we're going to talk a lot about talking about climate today. We're going to walk you through our latest messaging research and communications research. We're going to provide you with tools to share with others, as well as have an opportunity to try your hand at editing as well as drafting a message. So today we're going to give you a little bit of context on the state of communicating on climate. We're going to then walk you through some communications guidance, again, all informed from our research. Then we will have you do two things. Well, first, we're also going to walk you through how to craft your own message, your own personalized message, and then have you try it for yourself. And then hopefully we'll have some time for Q&A as well. As Brett mentioned, you've got both myself, Megan Spicer, on the call, as well as Paige Ferry. So while you can't see us on video, that's what we look like in real life. So a little bit about EcoAmerica, just to get us started. We've been around for a little over 10 years, and we were formed to really address a need in the environmental movement, which is to focus on people and to sort of bring climate change to them, to start where they are, and try to sort of inspire and empower them to do something about climate change because it matters to them personally. We also work with large institutions and we help them to do four things. One, elevate their climate leadership visibly, to also to engage their members to make sure they're climate literate, and then help them engage communities as well as build collective action. So we have four specific things we do with our national partners, and these national partners span several different sort of sectors of society. One is the faith community, and for that we have a program called Blessed Tomorrow. One is the health community. We have Climate for Health. And the other that we really focus on is our communities, local communities, cities, counties, and so forth, and whole states. And that program is Path to Positive Communities. We also have some resources for business as well as for higher education. But essentially what we do with these, again, we support sort of large national associations within these categories. So for instance, in the faith community, we work at the denominational level, like with American Baptist Church and Lutherans and so forth. We work at the denominational level nationwide. For health, it's organizations and associations like American Academy of Pediatrics and American Public Health Association and so forth. And then for local communities, we work with National League of Cities, Urban Sustainability Directors Network, and others. And that's building local government commission and so forth. So and what we do is provide them with, we help them build their platform for leadership, and then we provide them with several offerings tools and resources to help inspire and empower their leadership in a way that, again, starts with people, meets people where they are. So a lot of what we're showing you today is informed by those tools and resources and is a tool itself. And we also bring people together in summits and forums and so forth. So that's really a broad strokes of what we do. You know, essentially what we're trying to do is make climate change relevant for everyday people. And I think there's a lot of alignment between what Eco America does and what you all are doing with Citizens Climate Lobby, really being an open tent and providing that, you know, sort of, yeah, open space and welcoming kind of ground for people to engage on climate, no matter their political affiliation. We are not politically affiliated ourselves. So what you see on the screen is really just the covers of some of our research. We have a plethora of research that we conduct and we apply to our work, but we feel that it's very useful for anyone who's trying to engage others on climate, so we share it freely. This is just some examples of the research we do. We do really deep psychographic research to understand who's ready to move on climate change and how to move them. We do communications research, sort of approaches. We also do message testing. We do topical research, for instance, on the mental health impacts of a changing climate. And we do a whole series of polling as well that we share frequently, just to really understand sort of where Americans are on the issue at any given time and over trends over time. So I'm going to move now into giving a little bit more context, a little bit of a flavor of our climate values research. I mentioned that we do psychographic research, and this is sort of deep research that we do every few years that really uncovers, it goes beyond what people are sort of thinking about climate, and it gets down into their core motivations. And the reason we do it is it really unearths sort of trends that are happening in America, key, like very specific key audiences we can engage, and as well as, you know, how to move them. What are they thinking about? What can we tie climate to that will motivate their action? So moving into that, our American Climate Values survey, last findings we issued were in March 2014. And while that seems like several years ago, one thing that we know is that people's, their core values and their core motivations, they don't shift significantly over time. So we don't really need to do this research more than every handful of years. We're going to be preparing to do some soon, but these findings still hold. And in fact, we've done four rounds of this research over our tenure, and a lot of these themes have come through all four rounds over the last 11 years. So we had seven main findings from our last round of research. And again, I encourage you to download the guide to get the full findings. What I'm going to do is going to take you through some of the top findings that are relevant to our discussion today. First is that benefits are essential for action. A lot of the narrative that's happening on climate change right now is about the impacts of climate change and how fast the climate is changing. And if you're paying attention, it's, you know, the lowest amount of sea, you know, Arctic ice. The Arctic ice extent is the smallest ever in recorded history and so forth. It's a lot of bad news. If Americans are hearing about solutions, it's not enough. And in fact, what we found in our research is we need to go farther. It's not only that we need to talk about solutions, we need to talk about the benefits of solutions and not generally, in a very personal sense. So we saw a direct correlation between belief in climate change and belief in the benefits. But if Americans are not seeing the benefits of solution, that, you know, their support for those solutions is very weak. And in fact, most Americans have really heard the negative information that benefits might hurt them, like it's about sacrifice or it's going to cost us. And so we really, so they don't really see either the benefits or the penalties for not acting on climate change. So what do we do about that? Well, what we do about that is we emphasize that solutions are real and that they're personally relevant. We need to connect as much as we can how specific solutions that we're proposing will benefit people personally, whether it's financially or from the health perspective, or really just the resiliency or the strength of their communities, for instance. And really implore folks to do something now to help protect what they've worked so hard to achieve or to gain. Because when you ask people to think about sort of what they value in their lives, they will look around them very in their close communities, which you're very familiar with, and they want to protect how it is now or make it better. And so to the extent that you can connect that climate solutions will, you know, will do that, the better. The more people will be motivated to act on solutions. The other thing is, the next finding is about Americans following their tribes and afraid to stray. What this really means is that socially, Americans more than ever are sticking to their own. They either are very dedicated to their church or their neighborhood or their political party. And instead of reading a breadth of news on climate change, they're really looking to people in their own lives for guidance and information, or in their own sort of bubble of social engagement. And if their tribes don't support climate solutions, they won't. But they do trust their leaders, and they're looking to them for guidance. So what do they do? Because what do we do about this? Because they're afraid to stray. They don't want to step out on climate change because they feel their fear of they will be ostracized. And so what this means for us is, a lot of the work that you all are doing, forming deep and lasting collaborations with leaders and people who connect with Americans in their daily lives. And the more we can show folks like yourself and others leading by example, talking about climate change, the more Americans writ large will see it as normal, acceptable behavior. So the work you're doing at Citizens Climate Lobby is, we can't thank you enough for the work that you're doing. It makes a big difference in how people view climate change. The other thing to know is that people have a real family first orientation, and this is Americans nationwide, some more than others. But it's really, if you think about the strongest who feel this way, or what you can sort of think of as a soccer mom, it's really about me and my family first. But other groups hold these values too. And so when we talk about things like, that we need to drive smaller cars, or we need to consume less, or so forth, this triggers some anxiety and actual anger with a majority of Americans, because they have a big car and they buy a lot of food and goods and clothing and whatnot, because their perspective on that is that it is about taking care of my family. And so why is this an important finding? It's because the messages that we have often used in our climate work as a larger movement have often been about sort of sacrificing. And it's one of the reasons why some Americans are pushing back on what we're trying to do, because it threatens their lifestyle. And the reason why this audience, again, think of the soccer mom as the core sort of persona, the reason they're so important is because they vote. And a lot of folks in middle America look to them for guidance. So they're And they tend to be a high, sort of high communicators. So people look to them for leadership in a myriad of things. So what we can do about it is to make sure that when we talk about climate change, and again, this is related to the first benefits finding I shared, is we should promote the benefits of climate change. So instead of sort of focusing on our climate solutions, instead of focusing on the cost and consequences, focusing on the personal benefits and sort of positioning doing something about climate change as smart and responsible and protecting our family, both just generally their health and wellness, but also their well-being and their sort of their future and their ability to thrive and be successful. Some other tips that we offer, sort of thinking about these women in particular, is empowering them with quick facts and tips to use in social media, listicles and things like that. And also extrinsic motivation and rewards. And a lot of this, these findings have to do with kind of working within groups. So to the extent that any of you work within groups of folks, even just acknowledging some folks in social media is enough extrinsic motivation for some of these folks. Moving on to some of our polling, we do polling year over year, and we look at it nationally, we look at it in key cities, and of course, most of you probably know this, but it's great to see good trends and positive trends in Americans noticing that climate change is happening. They're personally concerned about climate change. They're really seeing that humans at least have humans are causing climate change to some degree. And most want their city to act. So you can see all these numbers from a national perspective are all in the majority percentages. And then we look at key cities as well. Some of the larger cities have even stronger values, but it's good to see nationwide still majority values and on awareness and concern, or majority percentages on awareness and concern. As far as attitudes on climate change, those two, we are seeing some nice growth in attitudes on climate change, especially with relation to your work. And so some of these we pulled out specifically for your benefit, working at the local level. From a national perspective, Americans do expect their leaders to act on climate. They think there's only so much I can do personally. And if it is such a big problem, then our local, regional, national leaders should be doing something about it. You can see here some of the percentages that believe their government needs to protect all people from the impacts of climate change. That's 70% nationally. The 83% think that their communities need to prepare for floods and droughts to minimize their impact. You know, Americans don't agree on a lot, so these are pretty high numbers. And they're supportive of an array of local climate policies and programs. So things like what we do in our research is we word things in ways that are very accessible. So instead of saying carbon tax, we say favor charging large companies a fee for the pollution they create. And 81% of Americans, they favor that. They also believe that everyone has a right to clean energy that does not pollute the air or water. 84% believe that. One of the reasons we talk about things in as a personal right is because people are more motivated, Americans in particular, when you frame things as a personal right. So it's good to see that that is activating them. Clean air, clean water, clean energy. You can see here very high support as well for clean energy as well as modernizing our electric grid. So moving on to climate leadership, also just a couple of other points here. One is from Yale and George Mason University about how much more should elected officials be doing on climate change. And you can see here that Americans think that they should be doing more, but you look deeper into the rising American electorate, and this is sort of young people and people of color, and that sort of motivation or value of our government doing more on climate change is even higher within these communities. And as you get, it's sort of equal across the board, but it even includes sort of that local leadership. Eco America also asks similar questions, and we specifically asked about a lot of local questions, but you can see here some good news. And one is a voting behavior. So if you take a look at 2015, 26% of Americans said they have voted for a candidate based on their support for taking action on climate change, and this is national. That jumped up to 35% in 2017. So that's good news for the work we're all doing, and seeing climate change, even though the numbers are low, it's good progress to see climate becoming a voting issue. And also, a majority want their cities or town to prepare for the impacts of climate change. So a lot of great support there.
Obviously, on behalf of everyone on the call here tonight, Paige and Megan, thank you so much for your time.
I just want to thank you all for the work that you're doing and for joining us today. We all need to be doing what we can on this issue, and I just really value you taking your personal time to be an advocate for solutions.
Right. Yeah, really appreciate everyone on the call, and feel free to reach out. We have our emails up there, and really encourage you to visit Eco America site and just, browse around and see what other resources you can find. But thank you all again so much. We really, really value everything that you guys are doing. Thank you.